Would you turn to Romans chapter 5? Romans chapter 5. Today, we read a statement rather than read a question. We read a statement, a profound yet a simple and a beautiful statement, beautiful beyond words. Romans 5:8. The Word of God says, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Let's pray, brethren. Father in heaven, we give You thanks. First of all, we praise You for what You've done in this place and in our lives, and for blessing us to know You and the one true and living God, and know You as our Father, and Christ as our Savior, and the Holy Spirit as our friend and guide. And You just blessed us to know You in your sovereign grace. You've saved us, and we praise You for that. When we were undone, dead and doomed, You saved us, and we praise You for that. We praise You for Your love. We praise You for the privilege to sing songs of praise to You and pray and meet together and encourage one another and fellowship together, feed on Your holy Word and on the natural food You provide. Your good hand provides us. We praise You for that. Lord, our cups just run over, and we praise You for that. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Father, help me to preach Your Word today. Help me to know what to say. And may we worship You in spirit and in truth. May we have come together for no reason but to worship the one true and living God. Direct me. Let my words be acceptable. And may You get honor and glory from whatever is done here. You've already been praised, Lord, and we glorify You. May now You be glorified in the preaching of Your Word, and may we all be instructed in it. In the name of Jesus, the name above every name, amen. That verse there is a wonderful one, isn't it? They're all glorious and great, and I'm gonna read this verse then, brethren. I want to try to make an application of it from nature. And I'll tell you about that in just a minute. Verse 8 says, but God. You know, it's part of the sentence, but as I was studying it and thinking about it and reading over it, those first two words, but God, you know, whatever happens, whatever else is said or done, whatever else is in your life, whatever happens to you, whatever, brethren, you can say the bottom line, but God. God's there. God loves me. God saved me. God knows best. He knows what's going on. But God. You know, whatever, brethren, but God. But God commendeth His love toward us. He manifests His love toward us. He exhibited and exhibits His love towards us. He demonstrated and demonstrates His love toward us. He proves His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I have a quote, one last quote I want to read to you. It says, "When we were sinners in Adam, we died in him. We became sinners by nature and by practice. We were dead in sin. We lived in it, committed it, and were slaves to it. We're under the power and dominion of it. While in that condition, brethren, Christ died for us." Isn't that amazing, amazing grace? There's the quote, the last quote that I have to give to you. And then another verse, 1 Peter 3:18 says, "Christ suffered for sins." That's our sins, not His. "Christ suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God." His death brings life. Now that's That's most of the Scripture, if not all, that I want to read to you today. And the rest, I want to may quote some toward the end or refer to some, but I want to give you an illustration. Brother Chris sent me some time ago some sermons of Brother John Michael when he preached to you here a meeting. Probably his last one. You know, he was a great illustrator, wasn't he? He gave lots of illustrations. I listened to those and loved it. They loved it. And I thought about Brother John Sheldon when I was thinking about this illustration. What a man of God he was, and blessed. And like the sisters said, when I stand in glory, he's just worshiping God in glory now. He stood here a lot, didn't he? And before his people, but now he stands in glory, worshiping God forever. So here's my illustration, brethren, and I pray God will bless it. Pray it's from God. About 10 days or 2 weeks or so before I came over here to preach to you, I got a phone call from Sister Jane Kaysen. She phoned me to tell me about the arrangements for my room where I would stay when I was here. And she told me I'd be staying at the Holiday Inn, and she said, "Brother Mike, I've asked, and I don't know her too well, but I think she can ask pretty firmly. It seems like she can be just what little I know of her." And I got the feeling that the folks at the Holiday Inn they knew that she wanted me to have a room that was quiet and away from the elevator and near the end of the hall. And that's exactly what I had. I've had a quiet room all week. It's been wonderful. Perfect. And she told me about the meals. I knew I'd have a place to stay, but she told me where, and I knew y'all would feed me, but she told me some details on the classes and different ones where we'd dine. And she told me, brethren, that she was praying for me and that the church was praying for me and for the meeting. And so I was standing in my kitchen near my breakfast area, and it looks out on my deck. There are three windows there in a row, big windows and pretty good sized windows, because Mari and I, we love to look out and we want to see outside. We want to see nature and the hand of God. And so I was standing there, and I have a bird feeder on my deck on the rail, and cardinals come there. I put sunflower seeds in and other birds, but mostly cardinals. They come there. And somehow we got to talking about birds. I probably mentioned it, and we were talking about the beautiful day, and I said, "Sister Jane, I saw a bluebird this morning." And I guess I hadn't seen her since I was here before, as far as I know, but I remembered her, the name, and I thought I remembered her face. And so we were visiting, and I told her about the bluebird I'd seen, and she said, I'm sitting here watching brown-headed cowbirds irritate and mess with my bluebirds." And are y'all familiar with brown-headed cowbirds? I wasn't. Once I saw one, I Googled it and saw a picture, and I said, "Yeah, I've seen those birds before. You don't notice them. It's not a bird you remember much, if you see them." But she said, "I'm sitting here watching brown-headed cowbirds." And I immediately thought of cattle egrets. And she said, I didn't say anything. I just thought of it. And she said, "Now, it's not cattle egrets like a lot of people think. There is not those cattle egrets. It's a brown-headed cowbird." And she said, she described them to me, I thought, well, that's not a very pretty sounding name, and they're not really a pretty bird at all. I hope you'll, if you don't know about them, I hope you'll Google it and look at them. And you may be like me. You might say, "Well, I've seen those birds before." Let me tell you about them, brethren. That's not only a pretty sounding name, but their behavior is not pretty. Sister Jane described their behavior, and then she said to me toward the end of the conversation, she said, "Maybe there's a lesson in there." And I didn't think much of it, but I like to read and study, and I love nature and love birds. And so I sat down pretty soon after our conversation and started reading about them. And so here's the lesson, brethren, the last one that I have the opportunity to bring to you. This week, in this meeting, and I thank the Lord for having been here, Sister Jane, I can hear her now saying, "Maybe there's a lesson in there." And her voice just kind of tapered off, and we said goodbye. Brethren, here, This is right off the internet. I went to several sources and I read about brown-headed cowbirds. Just think about that name. It's just not a very pretty name, is it? Here's a description of them and their behavior. They're smallish blackbirds with shorter tail and thicker head than most blackbirds. They got a short, blunt beak. They're not pretty to look at all. They're kind of top heavy, it looks like to me. They don't have a long tail. They're not colorful. Listen to this. The male is black with a brown head. Just imagine that. That's not a striking thing, is it? The female is dull gray. They're not much to look at. They're found often with red-winged blackbirds and grackles. They're not very pretty birds either, really, and they hang out, they mix in with these other blackbirds and grackles. They forage on the ground, often following grazing animals. Brother Randy, you got some in your cow pasture, I bet you. I don't know if you've seen them before, but you'll know them. Take a look at it. You'll say, I've seen those around my cows. It is said that in centuries ago, when bison roamed our country, that they hung out there and would follow the bison. And when the bison would, you know, flush the insects, they would eat them. They're opportunistic birds, and you'll hear more about that in a minute. They follow grazing animals, and after the Great Plains were expanded, or after Europeans came, we came to this country and began to clear land, their range expanded because there was more open areas. And so we've got them everywhere in the North America, as far as I know. And they follow horses and cows to catch insects stirred up by the larger animals. They mainly eat seeds and insects. The brown-headed cowbird lays its eggs in the nest of other small birds. They don't build nests. They got other things to do. They're what's called a brood parasite. A parasitic relationship is a non-mutual relationship. In other words, it goes one way only, not both ways. It's a non-mutual relationship between two species, where one species, the parasite, benefits at the expense of the other, the host. Monogamy, that's one mate. Monogamy is common among birds. But the brown-headed cowbird is not monogamous. The females have several mates. They can lay up to 36 eggs in a season. The female cowbird quietly searches for female birds of other species that are actively laying their eggs in their nest. Once she has found a suitable host, the cowbird will sneak onto the resident bird's nest when it is away and usually damage or remove one or more eggs and replace that egg with one or more of her own. Not a very pretty story, is it? Not a very pretty bird. The foster parents then unknowingly raise the young cowbirds, usually at the expense of their own offspring. Cowbird eggs, you see, they require shorter incubation period than most other birds, than the host birds, and thus usually hatch first. Cowbird nestlings they also grow very large very quickly, so they get most of the food, and the host species often dies. The brown-headed cowbird is not a very pretty bird, not a very pretty lifestyle. His song is not even pretty. On one of the internet sites I had, you can click on it and it'll give you the bird singing. Got a shrill, shrill cry and crackles and just not very pretty. But as Sister Jane said to me, maybe there's a lesson in there somewhere. Well, here's the lesson, brethren, that I see, and there's more to it than I can see now, but I want to share with you, I pray, what God's shown me. And listen to this, brethren. Who made the brown-headed cowbird? In the beginning, God created. God created the brown-headed cowbird. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God. There's another foundational statement. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him, the Word of God, the living Word of God, Jesus, was God's instrument in salvation. He made the brown-headed cowbird. God created every winged fowl, it says in Genesis 1:21. God made the birds. He made the brown-headed cowbird, and He made it for a lot of reasons, I'm sure, but I know one reason He made it is to teach me a lesson about it, about brown-headed cowbirds, and about Himself. They're not very pretty in their natural state. Neither are sinners, brethren, very pretty in their natural state. They're opportunistic, they're unlovable, and they're outcast. And that's just exactly, brethren, what I was in my natural state. Jesus made those to teach us about Himself. He becomes our host. He takes us in, not unknowingly like the host birds, but willingly. He takes us in. And He takes us in, brethren, knowing that it's at His own expense. God the Father took us in at the expense of His own Son. He gave His only begotten Son. He took us in. And God the Son took us in at His own expense, the expense of His suffering and death. A man of sorrows. He took us in, though. Romans 5:8 is our text. God commendeth His love because He loves us. He's loved toward us in that while we were yet sinners, He took us in. Christ died for us. Christ is the bridge that crosses the great divide. God reveals the work of His arm to us in His Word and in the life and the illustration of the brown-headed cowbird. We believe His report because He's given us ears to hear it and eyes to see it, eyes to see the work of His arm. He took the brown-headed cowbird and plunged him into the bath of the blood of Jesus, and that cowbird came out a snowy egret. You know what those are, don't you? Can you imagine that, how white they are, you see? You see, He took us in and plunged us in His blood, and we became a snowy egret. And there was a line in one of those songs that jumped out at me when I think it's the blood can, only that can change the leper spots. Only that can change the brown-headed cowbird in us. Only the blood of Jesus. He's made me to drink from the fountain of flowing waters. I've got a little bird bath in my yard, and man, in this dry weather, it goes dry. It's dry in about 2 days. I just keep filling it up, though. Brother Mike keeps filling it up for those birds. And Jesus, brethren, keeps that fountain flowing for me. He keeps it flowing. He makes me to drink from the fountain of flowing waters. He picks me up when I fall because His eye is on the sparrow. His eye is on me. His eye is on the sparrow. And He watches over me. He watches over me. And I wait on Him. If I wait on Him, I'll renew my strength. I'll mount up with wings as eagles. I'll run and not be weary. I'll walk and not faint. Even though I'm nothing but a brown-headed cowbird, God loves me and He's plunged me and He's saved me. Since last Sunday at the 8:30 service, God's kept me beating my wings up here. He furnished me a bag of bird seed. Remember that? The M&Ms. He's kept me going. He's kept me beating my wings and singing His song. And Brother Mike, in his call to worship, he told us over and over and over, praise God. Keep on singing. Praise God. Just keep on singing. He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Last week, before I came here, I was out in my yard, and I got a few acres there, so I have a lot to do, and I've got the house, and I've got an outbuilding with my man cave, and I've got a little storage building, and I've got a barn, and it's all kind of in a area there, and between in that area, there's pecan trees in my yard, and I was watering them, and I was going from the storehouse to the man cave to the house and back and to in and out and all around there, and I noticed At some point, there was a mockingbird in a tree somewhere. I never saw the mockingbird, but that mockingbird was singing his heart out. And I just noted that as I was walking back into, and I'd been out there probably a couple of hours working and in and out of the buildings, and I went out one more time, and that bird was singing, and I just remember thinking, and I was sort of half irritated. I said, that bird will not hush. But he was singing that beautiful, beautiful song, brethren. He was singing to his Creator. Just one melody after another. I didn't recognize the same tune one time. Just one right after another. That bird wouldn't stop, brethren. And Brother Mike, I'm not going to stop either, God willing, until he takes me home. I'm going to keep on singing. Keep on singing his song. I don't know if you sang. Did you read from 149 Psalm? I don't know the. Yeah. Well, 149 says, "Praise ye the Lord." I had that down. Our Lord, praise ye the Lord, our Lord Jesus, for what He's done. Sing unto Him a new song, a new song. Brethren, I was nothing but a brown-headed cowbird. I hope you'll go home and look them up if you don't know about them already. And when you see, it wasn't long after Sister Jane and I talked. A brown-headed cowbird come flying across my yard, right by my deck. And I said, there he is, right there. There he is. There I go. There I go in my natural state. But God's changed me, and He's blessed me, and He's changed me. He's given me a new song. Not some shrill crackle. He's given me new desires. He's given me a new way of life. And I praise Him for it. I hope you'll go look them up, brethren, if you don't know what they're like already. And I hope you'll see yourself as that, but plunged in the fountain of the blood of Jesus, coming out, your spots changed, snowy white. It's the way God views us now. And the last thing I wanted to say to you is, there are a lot of brown-headed cowbirds out there in that world, outside the sanctuary doors here. There's a lot of them. And you can see them. You can see them. They're opportunistic and rude. But brethren, God may love them. I don't know. Because all we can see is the outside. They look like a brown-headed cowbird to me. But like old Shiloh, he just looked like a brown-headed cowbird to me. And he may be, brethren, that may be all there is to him. But I'm going to find out. I'm going to find out sooner or later. But I'm going to sing to him about the Lord Jesus. And he may hear it and he may not. I don't know. But I'm going to sing to him. And I hope you will. I hope you will. I hope God will bless you to do that and bless me to do that. Oh, Father, thank You for Your wonderful grace in our lives and saving us and loving us in Christ Jesus when we were nothing but sinners, dead, alien sinners. Christ died for us. We praise You for that. We praise You for the sight You've given us and the song You've given us. May we sing it to our dying day and to Your honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray, that name above every name. Amen. Brother Randy.